After CES and the North American Auto Show have proven self-driving cars are coming and they're coming fast, we've heard complaints about safety, liability, and ethics, but today on CNN.com, reporter Matt McFarland writes about cab drivers, truck drivers, and other people who drive for a living who are trying to stop driverless cars in order to keep their jobs. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
So last time we had you on, we discussed the potential fallout from job automation, and now we're talking about it again. Can you tell us what's happening right now with upstate New York drivers?
Right, sure. An organization that represents four hired drivers in upstate New York sent a letter to the governor and said, hey, we think there should be a 50-year ban on driverless cars. They basically argued that, hey, Uber has promised 13,000 new jobs if they are allowed to operate in upstate New York, and that they should be held to the pledge, and this would be a way to do that.
A 50-year ban just sounds so...
A little ambitious.
Then what? I mean, do they think that it'll take 50 years to make the transition to... I mean, where does the 50 years come from?
Yeah. Right. No, it really feels like a start of a negotiation or something. I think pretty much everyone, when they hear the 50-year ban, say how that kind of seems like a Luddite argument and really not practical. Basically, they do just want to protect their drivers, and a ban is the easiest way to do it.
So are they having any effects on any legislation at this point?
No, they aren't. The reaction has been essentially silence. There is legislation moving forward, but it does not include a ban.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much happening right now in this space that really seems like any sort of resistance to this progress is going to be such a challenge. Just today, a few hours ago, U.S. Department of Transportation announced a committee that's focused on automation as a result, as you know, relates to self-driving cars and self-driving vehicles and all that kind of stuff. So it really seems like on a federal level deeper inside our government at work, they've really embraced it. I mean, is there any reality in which a kind of a grassroots effort like this could actually prevent technology from moving in the direction that it already seems like the machine is moving it forward in?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's really hard to say for sure. Definitely for so far, leaders have been really enthusiastic about the technology, and there are so many great benefits that can come from self-driving cars, the potential to really improve safety on our roads. And then there's this question of what do we do with some of the downside of, you know, all these drivers who could lose their jobs. So I think we'll really see in the coming years whether a grassroots kind of movement can take off. It does appear like there will be interest to do that. I spoke with the group that represents the 45,000 ride-sharing drivers in New York City, and they said, hey, we're going to stick up for laws which we believe currently, you know, will make autonomous vehicles illegal in New York just because, hey, we want to look out for our drivers.
Right. I mean, you talk about how they want safety nets for the drivers. I mean, do you think it's – in what way do you think it's the government's responsibility to create those safety nets for people whose jobs are being lost through automation?
Yeah, it's a good question of what really is the role of government and our leaders, in this situation. Should they do safety nets? I would say I think it's reasonable that our leaders should really educate people about the changes that are coming so that they can prepare just at a very minimal level. And, you know, so far it's really so many leaders don't have positions on self-driving cars. I asked, you know, New York's governor, are you in favor of self-driving cars on New York roads? And couldn't get an answer of whether it's a definite yes, I'm for this, or no, I'm not. So right now it does seem like leadership is really kind of behind on the issue. Technology is just moving so fast, and there are all these changes coming, and everyone, including our government, is struggling to figure out what to do and how to prepare.
Yeah, and what it leads to. I mean, and we're not just talking about self-driving vehicles, right? Like, I mean, regularly on this show, we're talking about automation, the potential of automation replacing jobs in many sectors, and not just self-driving vehicles. I mean, if there were to be concessions made in this particular instance, in the case of self-driving vehicles in New York, let's say, is it feasible to expect that kind of concession, that kind of change would extend to all other, you know, instances where automation and, you know, robots are replacing people's jobs en masse?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's really tough. How do you define who do you help out with the safety net and who do you not help out?
Right.
I mean, we've had automation for a very long time. Look at like our, you know, washing machines, our dishwashers. We use actually robots all the time today. So, yeah, right. The question, it's a tough question. You know, who do we help out and how much do we help them? There is the basic income argument. That's a really trendy discussion lately of, mm-hmm. hey, just give everybody a check each month for a certain amount of money. And maybe that's a way to kind of help everyone pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked to Wendell Wallach, who wrote A Dangerous Master, How to Keep Technology from Slipping Beyond our control. And do you think that that's what these people in New York are kind of looking for? They're not saying, like you said, it's 50 years is a place to start a compromise. Just saying like, hey, we need to do something. We need to slow down. We need to think about the jobs that are being lost before we just leap ahead and say, you know, that self-driving cars are going to help everyone in the economy.
Yeah. I mean, throwing out that 50-year ban does really kind of start the discussion. I spoke with another analyst who told me, hey, it might be reasonable to do something like requiring, say, a ride-sharing company to guarantee a driver who maybe buys a car today so that he or she can drive for Uber or Lyft, that your car is still going to be, you know, you can still use it in 4 or 5 years. We won't have, say, switched to all autonomous vehicles by then and made this car you just spent all this money on worthless. So there are kind of things in kind of the middle ground that potentially could be done to help everybody with this transition to a more highly automated society.
And you have to give credit for these guys that are really trying to push this forward. You bring up the example of the one hand on the wheel law. Like there's a law that drivers have to always keep one hand on the wheel. And talk a little bit about the people pushing for the ban on driverless cars, what they were going to do with that.
Right. Yeah. So there is, you know, this law on the books in New York that says, hey, a driver needs to have a hand on the wheel. And to some people, they feel like, oh, hey, we are safe in New York from self-driving cars because of that rule. But I've spoken to a lot of legal experts and they warn that, yeah, there really could be a loophole. Is the law talking about a self-driving car or a human? There could be something like the absurdity clause that's brought in to challenge it. So, yeah, I think that law as is, it's probably not the end of the discussion on whether we'll have autonomous vehicles in New York. There has been legislation considered about kind of, you know, changing the interpretation of that law so that autonomous vehicles would be allowed, given all the positives they can bring. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a very confusing area because it's so new. And then there's the difference between actual driverless cars and then autonomous cars, like something that Tesla's doing, which is slowly slipping the autonomy in. And, you know, and Tesla is more aimed at this point at cars that people own individually versus, you know, what the true autonomy we're going to probably see first in a ride sharing company. And Uber, especially in New York, has had a bit of a rough time getting through. Do you think that that's going to happen again with self-driving cars, just like what they've faced with the taxi cabs?
Well, it's hard to say for sure. I really, just from when I'm trying to talk with New York legislators, I can't say for sure if they're going to challenge it. It's totally a guess that I would think they'll lean to be receptive, at least initially, just because that's been the general trend of leaders I've spoken to throughout the country. And, you know, we've had a long history of embracing technology because, you know, for all of mankind, essentially, we've had this history where the benefits have outweighed the negatives. And, you know, while there are going to be some downsides, definitely, and it looks like a lot of drivers could be in trouble, there will also be a lot of benefits, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Matt. Matt is a CNN tech reporter covering innovation and transportation, and he is Matt McFarland on Twitter. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Have a good night.